All right, in our time remaining tonight, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 12, very familiar chapter in the book of Romans. This particular section that we're going to be looking at, verses 9 and 10 tonight, are in what we call the third exhortation section of that particular passage of Scripture. And it gives a lot of key ingredients to life as a Christian. And I want to read verses 9 and 10. We've been doing a series on sanctifying love takes sin seriously. And I want to deal with this whole idea of sanctified love. You do realize that the moment that you're saved, you become a new creation in Jesus Christ. Everybody agree? 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are what? Passed away. All things have become new. Now, that's either true or it's not true. We believe the Word of God. That is true. That means something has changed within me. I'm now indwelt. Look back at Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. We're now indwelt by God's Spirit. All right? The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love. The sevenfold aspect of the Spirit of God now is indwelling in me. If you look in chapter 8, look at verse 9, we read, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the," what? "Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That makes it very clear. This whole idea of losing your salvation would mean losing the Holy Spirit. Right? Do you lose the Holy Spirit? No. This whole concept that some teach about that we're just leaky vessels and the Holy Spirit just leaks right out of us. First of all, the Holy Spirit isn't a fluid. He's a person, amen? He's one of the Trinity. And when I get saved, I get all of Him, amen? This whole idea that somehow we get the Holy Spirit in pieces and parts, because the Bible says, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." All that's saying is that the Spirit gets more of you. That's what that's saying. It's not getting more of Him. You've got Him. What He needs is more of you. So in this passage, the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer. And if Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's a new creation. That wasn't like that before. You go on in verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." In other words, the Holy Spirit brings life into you that you did not have before. Now, what happens to your love then? Sanctifying love is different than your everyday, run-of-the-mill, normal kind of love that a human being has. We all love things. We love our animals. Right? I think most of you are animal lovers. I don't think you go home and kick your dog every night. I think most of you like your animals. And, you know, you have your pets and so forth like that. I've got a cat at home. And my cat and I have an understanding. I do whatever she says to do. And that's our understanding, all right? But, you know, I love my cat. We've had her for a very long time. She's very old, and she doesn't move as fast as she used to do, and so now she trips me. So, thankfully, from time to time, she will say something to let me know she's down there in the dark and that her massively huge body is in my way. And but I love my cat. I like to trash talk her a little bit, but she's a good cat. She's pretty nice cat, and as long as I do what she says to do, we've got everything in good order at our house. All right, most of us love our animal. We love our children. I think probably animals. Well, there's a close thing between the animals and kids. I know there's a lot of people that think more of their animals than they do to their kids. Well, I read recently that one animal lover, their dog got leukemia and they spent $15,000 putting it through chemo and the dog died in the process. So, man, that's an expensive dog. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm just being honest with you. No dog is worth $15,000, all right? Humans, maybe, all right? But dogs, $15,000 for a dog to get chemotherapy, just send it on to glory. Get you another dog, all right? Now, some people get all flustered. I had somebody got all over my case one time. I said that in church. And I got met after church, buddy, and I got lit up, all right, because of how wonderful the dog was and so forth like that. And I said, yes, but it's just a dog. It's nothing more than that, all right? We don't have revival services for animals. Amen? We don't do that. We don't have an altar call for an alpaca to work its way up to the front. So we can, and those are animals that definitely need to be saved. Those things are mean. They will bite you as soon as look at you. And how much alpaca experience? I don't have any, but I've heard a lot about them. All right? So, you know, there's some animals that definitely, my cat needs to be saved. That animal has just got some serious spiritual problems. But the Bible says nothing, not one word about animals being redeemed, but it does say a whole lot about humans. And it says that they're indwelt immediately at the moment of salvation with the Holy Spirit of God. And it changes everything. Which means that my love that I had before has also been what? Changed. Transformed. I don't love things that I used to love. I think all of us can give testimony. If you've been born again, that the loves that you had before have been changed and now you have different loves. That's what transforming grace does. It changes your love life. It makes it completely different from what it was before. Sanctified love is different than the love that you had before. If it's not, you haven't been set apart by God. Something hasn't changed. I've had that conversation with young people through the years. And I love all those things. I still love all those things and I want to have those kind of things. Well, you need to be redeemed. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God changes you. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God now. We're not children of the devil anymore. We don't love the things He loves. We have a different life now. With that in mind, back in our passage in Romans chapter 12, I was just reading through this recently, and the Lord just challenged me, just two verses, 9 and 10. Let love. Now, by the way, the word let does not appear in the original language. It starts with the noun, love. All right? Love should be without dissimulation. Now, dissimulation is a word we don't use. Right? Somebody comes up to me and says, Todd, yeah, I think that there's some dissimulation going on. First of all, I have to run to my office and grab my dictionary. All right? That's not a word that's just readily right there available. But dissimulation means hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. All right? Something that's feigned. It's fake. It's not real. Love should be without fakery. It shouldn't be something that's made up. We live in a world of fakes, do we not? Fakery is everywhere. This whole concept that we have today of wokeness, it's all fake. There's nothing real about it because it makes no sense. There's no bond to reality to it. Well, I'm not a man or a woman. I'm a Z. All right, now we laugh. We think that's humorous, but there are people that actually believe that. They actually believe that. Now we see our government now saying that, you know, you don't put male and female anymore. And Disney now. Oh, we're not going to refer to them as men and ladies and boys and girls anymore. It's just dreamers. Dreamers. We don't call them those things because that would be offensive. Since when is being called a man offensive? Do you realize there's probably less than 1% of people that actually believe that garbage? But they're very vocal. And they cause a lot of headaches for a lot of people because they got a lot of money behind them. And so what do? We call that wokeness. But there's nothing real about it. It's all fakery. Are there more than two genders? Absolutely not. Because God said so. Amen? In the book of Genesis, He created him male and female. But the devil hates that. The devil hates that. So he stirred up this whole new concept of multiple genders. There's not a lick of reality to it. It's hypocrisy. It's feigned knowledge where none exists. Now keep this in mind. Sanctifying love is different than the world's kind of love. Because sanctifying love is rooted in truth, not error. I can fall in love. When I was in middle school, I was falling in love all the time with girls. I could do that because they didn't pay any attention to me. You know? There were some that, I just thought they were the prettiest things. And I would dream. I was a dreamer. You know? I just fell in love with them. They were so pretty. Now, they wouldn't spend 2 seconds with me. But I had it in my mind. I'm in love with them. All right? Anybody here identify with that? Okay. Wow. But anyway, I lived in a little dream world, you know, that somebody liked me because I liked them. And, you know, that's a rude awakening for a middle schooler when they realize that that's not true. It's just false. It's like dreaming you're a great basketball player when you're not. You can't dribble. You can't shoot. You can't run and dribble at the same time. But there are people that are legends in their own mind. You see that man up in the stands? Yeah, who's that? That's a scout. Right. That's Bubba's uncle that just happened to come by tonight. That's not a scout. Oh, no, it's a scout. I know it's a scout. Okay, I'm the greatest. I've heard it so many times through the years from young people about how great they are. I had a young man went to play for the Seattle Mariners. And he came, was up on campus last week, Charles. And he's back in Milton now. He had a short career with the Mariners that lasted 3 years, and they dropped him down into the minors. He stayed there for 3 or 4 years, and then he got out, and he's back here in Milton now, and he teaches in the public school system and the PE program and whatever. But Charles, if you ever thought a kid was going to make it, that was him. At age 14, he was throwing 75-mile-an-hour fastballs left-handed. I mean, I have never seen a kid. I couldn't hit him. Of course, I couldn't hit somebody throwing 25 miles an hour. But boy, he could throw that ball in there. He would go up there. He was the one that took our group to South Haven, Mississippi, and won the Dizzy Dean World Series in 2006. He was that good. In high school, he didn't even go to college. He went straight to the Mariners training club after high school. He was picked up. He was that good. But what happened? Didn't last. Injuries started plaguing him. Shoulder injury, had to have surgery, and then went down to the minors. It was all over with. That's all it takes. Just a little simple thing like that, like your shoulder, not being able to pitch at that level. Now, my point is this, folks. You're either real or you're fake. If you're real, you have sanctified love. Because that love comes from the Father. And sanctified love is far different. Therefore, our love should not be with hypocrisy. Charles was the real deal until he got his shoulder torn up. Somebody else that goes out there, throws it 30 miles an hour, 40 miles, they're not going to the major leagues. They can dream all they want, but they're not going. You can dream all you want about being a Christian, but until you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and you're possessed of the Holy Spirit of God, you're just a fake. You're a fraud. And the Bible makes this very clear. So I'm going to be talking about sanctified love is different. And I'm going to bring out 3 thoughts from verses 9 and 10. I hope you'll read this passage because there is so much here about what has changed What does it mean to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, where old things are passed away and all things are become new? There's some people that don't know what that means, mainly because they don't possess. They've got some figment of religion, but they don't possess the real thing. The Spirit of God produces fruit. Amen? Produces fruit. And what's the first fruit that we're told about in Galatians 3:22? Love. Love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Go down the list of all that. But the first one, the very first one, is love. And we're going to bring that out, Lord willing, in regard to why do I hate sin? It's because I love God. I love God. He changed me. I'm not the same person anymore. He bestowed upon me grace. That changes everything. And so we need to look, what do you love? Because verses 9 and 10 talks about not only what you love, but also what you what? Hate. And we're going to talk about that word. That's a remarkable word in the Greek language. We'll talk about that another time. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to be together tonight and to pray for our students, our teachers, our staff, the important prayer requests that we've mentioned. We pray, Father, that you would work in our behalf, and we pray that you would teach us from your word. But living the Christian life is something real. It's not fake. It's not a fraud. It's something real that's produced by the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, dear Father, we might understand and know that and seek that for others that are in our families, that are in our neighborhoods, to seek for them to know what it means to be dwelt in by the Holy Spirit of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.